Podcast with Brother Scott. We are thrilled that you have taken time out of your day to explore with us God's timeless truth. Regardless of who we are, we all need the light of God's Word to illuminate our path for this day. And now, here's our youth pastor, Brother Scott.
Hello and welcome back to the Truth to You Podcast. It's Monday, it's April the 8th, and I'm so thankful we're getting some warmer weather now. Isn't that nice? Brother Andrew is with us, and you like warmer weather?
Yes, not too warm, but you know, a little warmer than 30s and 40s is nice.
Right. I think we're all just kind of ready. Winter is over.
Yes.
And let's get into warmer months and get outside and enjoy the great outdoors.
I agree.
Run around. That's good stuff. Okay. Well, kind of an exciting week for some of our listeners. The national trip leaves tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
So some of the upperclassmen going to be making their way to Greenville, South Carolina, and enjoying some Christian school competition there. We'll be praying for safety as they go. And today is April the 8th, so let's get into Amos chapter 4. Before we get there, though, our memory verse from Proverbs 12 and verse 24. I'll go ahead and read that. The Bible says, "The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute." Proverbs 12, 24. One more time. "The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute." Okay, there's our memory verse. We are in Amos chapter 4. And as we typically do, I'll go ahead and read the verse that Brother Andrew has selected here. And then he'll tell us what we're going to talk about. So, verse 11, and the Bible says this, "I have overthrown some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and ye were as a firebrand plucked out of the burning, yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord." What's this talking about?
So you might think at first this is a bit of an odd verse to select as the main verse of the topic here. But as we go through, of course, the main part we're looking at there is the second half where it says, "Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord." Mm. And as you go through Amos, you see a lot of, it just seems like a bit of a dark book.
Yeah.
A lot of judgment is being pronounced.
Right.
And crying against Israel and things like that are happening from the prophet here. And even in the midst of this, I want to look at the long-suffering of the Lord. Because even in the judgment that you see in this book, you can find God's long-suffering. And we see that right here with this phrase. If you look at that second phrase, "Yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord," you'll find that, I believe it's four times in the chapter, maybe three or five.
Hmm.
You'll see that same phrase at the end of some verses as it goes through, which tells me that the Lord here is giving chances to Israel.
Yeah, right.
If you go to verse 6, it says, "And I also have given you cleanliness of teeth in all your cities," meaning taking away some of their food so they have less food.
This was not a blessing.
No, not a blessing.
No, they had really white teeth. No.
He was taking away some of the food for them in their city.
Mm-hmm.
And he says at the end, "Yet have you not returned unto me." Then he keeps going and talks about how he held the rain back from them. And then into verse 9, he hit them with a lot of dirtiness and some disease and things. And then at the end of verse 9, again, "Yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord." And it keeps going throughout the chapter. And though it is a dark message, here the Lord is giving Israel chances.
Yes.
And he sends along a punishment that's not going to kill them.
Mm-hmm.
Israel was still his people, but he was trying to wake them up a little bit and give them a chance to turn back to him. You know, we see in this time that the sacrifices that Israel was offering at Bethel were not at all what they were supposed to be.
Yep.
They weren't clean animals. They were doing it out of, you know, habit. It was no sincerity in it. And this problem was showing up, and the Lord is bringing these trials in life. Nothing that's going to, you know, kill anyone or drastically change something or cause Israel to not be God's people anymore.
Yeah.
But he's giving them a chance to come back to him.
Yeah.
And he's showing his long-suffering through this chapter. Over and over again, he's bringing something else into their lives that's a little bit difficult because he wants them to turn and trust the Lord.
Yeah.
And they didn't do it.
Mm-mm.
And again, they didn't do it, and again, they didn't do it. And, you know, God gets fed up with it eventually, but he keeps giving those chances, And I think really that applies over to our lives really well. That, you know, obviously none of us are perfect.
Yeah.
And we mess up again and again.
Yeah.
And yet the Lord's long suffering prevails.
Yeah.
And none of us deserve that.
Mm-mm.
We really don't. I mean, if God was going to be completely and perfectly just and righteous and not have any mercy, then we sin one time and we're done.
Yes.
We're just done.
Yes.
And yet he chose, I mean, you can see the long-term long-suffering in his plan of salvation, giving us a way to even make it to heaven through our sin.
Yeah.
Or you can look at the little more temporary long-suffering in him giving us chances to turn back to him.
Yeah.
Forgiving us on, you know, for most of us a daily basis.
Right.
Giving that forgiveness and still calling out to us, still wanting us to turn to him and showing his long-suffering to us.
Yeah.
And really, I think taking a moment to stop and be thankful for that long-suffering and doing our best to not overuse that.
Sure.
You know, striving to do what is right.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And to where we don't need him to be as long-suffering with us.
Yes.
Striving to do that is something we probably should think about a little more.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good. That's sort of tying into the thought of, you know, we shouldn't presume on the grace of God or abuse it.
Yeah.
In that sense, like Paul talked about, you know, to be understanding of what the Lord has provided, and we don't willfully sin because we know he's going to forgive us. We would presume on his grace when we do that. But
yeah.
But rather, because we know what he is and who he is, we should strive to be the same. And I think that kind of points back to verse 2. It says, the Lord God hath sworn by his holiness. And then a little bit of a prophecy comes of how the judgment's going to come. And so what he's saying, well, God's dealing with these people based on, you know, his own holiness. His relationship with them was, their relationship was supposed to mirror the holiness of God, right? And so they're not doing that. And there's a host of things that are changing because of that. I wanted to point out one observation, not so much connected with the devotional thought here, but more connected with something we were talking about before the podcast started. And we were kind of talking about all of this from Amos's view.
Oh, right.
Talking about how, you know, this was a shepherd, you know, a herdsman that the Lord took. And one of the things that I've noticed as I've gone through this book is the many different animals that are mentioned that are used as illustrations. And so, you know, we might wonder, well, why didn't God, you know, just take one of the priests and give them the message, you know, to the people? Or why didn't God use somebody else? Because it is sort of interesting that this herdsman is used. We don't see that other places. At least the other prophets wouldn't have been categorized as that. But the Lord chooses him here. And you have to think, part of it's just because practically this man spent his life outdoors in the fields.
Oh, yeah.
And many of the animals that are mentioned, he probably saw for himself.
True.
And so God is using a man who has full knowledge of, you know, practically speaking, the animals that he speaks up, how they operate, and so that's kind of an interesting interesting look as we, you know, try to see this message through the eyes of, you know, the person that God used to pin it and give it.
Very interesting. I mean, the main thing they were getting wrong here, or one of the things, was the sacrifices they were supposed to be giving were completely wrong.
Yeah.
That what they were giving was wrong, not according to what the Lord had commanded. Mm-hmm. So, of course, they're disobeying here.
Yes.
And, I think, you know, even using that, a herdsman, what would be considered a lowly person, to bring that up, you know, using the weak things of this world to confound the mighty, as you see in the Bible there.
Amen.
And, you can look at it that way and say, you know, any of us can be that.
Yes,
God. We don't have to be the Israelites that aren't doing what's right.
Yes,
Any of us, no matter how,
you
know, weak or strong in any sense of the word.
Right, right.
Can be used of the Lord.
Yes.
But even in that state, we need his long-suffering.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. And praise God for it. I love this thought. And, boy, it's the kind of thought that's at the beginning of a week. It just encourages your heart from the standpoint that we serve a God who is faithful to us, and of course that should challenge us to be faithful to him. So let's live as beneficiaries of the grace of God, and strive to do more for him this week. All right, before we go, I want to mention our teenager of the day, and it is Timmy. Praying for Timmy. And so you see him today in the hallway at school or after school, let him know that you're praying for him. All right, we'll be back again tomorrow at the start of the day. Hope you'll tune in, because we got some interesting things to talk about from Amos chapter 5. All right, we'll see you next time.